Good morning, Run of Christ. Yes, it's a great day to be alive. Yes, praise the Lord. Yes, God is good. Ain't never been nothing but. Good morning. Today's responsive reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 2 through 14. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ.
Even before we made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do and made with a great pleasure.
So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding.
God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth.
Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance and makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, will bring praise and glory to God.
And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saved you. And when you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, who he promised long ago.
Together.
The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we could praise and glorify him.
Amen, amen. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your plan of salvation for all of mankind. We thank you that Jesus Christ, that he came and he died for us, that we could have everlasting life, yes, that we could be in relationship with you, Lord. We thank you so much. Every day that we rise, we can just be thankful, yes, that we have life and we have it, yes, for eternity. Okay. And life begins now. We don't have to wait to have life after we die. We have it now. We thank you so much, Jesus. We thank you that you came to do your Father's will. And you did it, Lord. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't it good that we have a God that is awesome? I know y'all called a lot of other stuff awesome or a lot of other people awesome, but this is awesome. Our God is awesome. Amen.
time for altar call. You know who's up. It's time to set your heart to the Lord. In prayer.
They're quite comfortable, but they make a lot of noise. Praise the Lord, saints. We wait for him to take the calls. Hopefully it's not Jesus. Always happens at the wrong time. He was at home chilling. That phone wouldn't be ringing. Good to see you all this morning. Glad I don't have the butterflies this morning. Praise the Lord. But it's time for us to talk to the Lord as a collective and individually. That's the beautiful thing about the Lord, is that he hears our individual prayers. He knows what's going on with us. And then by us being together, he's already in the mix. So let's talk to our Father. Amen. Lord, we thank you for a brand new day,
amen.
Day we haven't seen before,
amen.
Brand new opportunities.
Amen.
You gave us the sunshine, you gave us the morning dew, you gave us crisp air. Help us when we wake up in the morning to have an attitude of gratitude. No matter what goes on throughout the day, help us to have that same attitude. Help us to be like the children. When they run to and fro without a care in the world,
yeah.
Knowing that their father, their mother has them. But we have all that in you.
Yes, say it.
We thank you for the healing. We thank you for the restoration and the protection and the assurance and insurance that you blessed us with. Sometimes we get so distracted with what's going on in the world. But we read in Ephesians where it talks about not getting distracted with what's going on in the world, not being wavering or being tossed to and fro by foolishness, but to adhere to the truth. The truth is your word. Your will is going to move forward. Your kingdom is going to expand. Your agenda is going to move forward regardless of what we do. So help us to realize that we're already on a winning team. We just need to line up with you, walk with you, and talk with you, and help us not to make it a laborious task, but to just hold your hand and say, Father, I'm thankful for your presence in my life.
Yes.
Elder brother, thank you for going to the cross in my place. Holy Spirit, my counselor, continue to instruct me so that I don't go all the way crazy today. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the Holy Trinity. We thank you for each and every one of you being a part of our lives. But help us not to just rest on our laurels as Christians, but to lead others to you so that they can get the eternal hookup.
Yes.
So that they can be at home with you in glory. We pray right now, Lord, that our praise and worship will be a sweet smelling savor to you. We pray that the word that you blessed today for the preacher will go forth. And that she will be obedient and be an empty vessel when it's all over. But help us to do our part. Help us not to just wait on the preachers or the teachers or the deacons and deaconesses to do their job. But help us to do our jobs daily. Help us to be better parents. Help us to be better cousins, better sisters and brothers. We pray, Lord, for mental health in this world today. Lord, there are people who are taking their own lives because they feel like it's dark and they can't see. But help us to be the light of the world so that we can go forth showing the will and the way to the Father and to our elder brother and to our counselor, the Holy Spirit. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Stand on your feet again. Don't get that exercise in before we sit back down. How many of you all, if you had the chance, would go back to the life you had before you came to Christ?
Thank you.
I know it's always a setup when I ask a question. We are declaring something right now. We won't go back.
Okay.
Not to the way it used to be. Before His presence came and changed us. Make a declaration today in song.
Go back!
changed you. You're different. You're not the same anymore. You shouldn't be the same anymore.
Check 1, 2. Amen. As I was discussing with Pastor and Mackie this morning, I don't know why anybody would voluntarily want to be a preacher.
Amen.
Don't. You're not signing up for. You see all the good stuff, you know, the fame and the riches and the presence in front of people. But what you don't see is what goes on when you are alone with the Lord. I'm in the box this morning because I have actually serious sermon notes. So with that, let's pray. Lord, you are good. You're not good because of what we do. You're good because it's who you are. You don't give to us because we fulfill our obligations. You do and give to us and pour out on us because of who you are. So right now, Father, we're here with our cups empty from praise and worship of you, waiting to be filled. Pray for ears that hear this message, hearts that receive this message, and feet that will walk it out.
Amen.
We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Part of the hours you don't see is when the Lord is talking to you in your sleep about the message that he has given to you. And remind you at 3 o'clock in the morning that, hey, you didn't do an introduction. So I was up at 3 o'clock this morning trying to just say, well, Holy Spirit, you can bring it back to my remembrance. I remember it. He said, get your phone and write down your introduction. So here's my introduction. This past week, I participated in a 3-year study of eye disease. As a matter of fact, there's information on the back table for those of you who need eye exams or have troubles. Through U of M, and it's a believer, a sister of ours in Christ who is conducting this study to a place called Hope Clinic. So if you got kids in need, free, you know, cheap glasses, all that, it's back there on the back table. But I went, and my eye exam, if anybody's had a comprehensive one, I mean one that's a step above what they give you at the little optical places where they just kind of look at the chart, blow stuff in your eye, and then, you know, tell you what glasses you need, send you on your way to pay more money than you wanted to pay. A little more in detail when you get a comprehensive exam. You know, you get the pressure test and the glaucoma test and all these different tests, and you get drops put in your eyes, and then you dilate it that you see so much light, even in the rain and dark, it's real bright. And You get a thorough exam. So I went through that this week. But in the eye exam, we probably all familiar with this who have had them, you get the part where you get the eye chart and they tell you to read the line, but they take a paddle and you put one paddle over one eye and you read the line. And then they tell you to switch the paddle and put it over the other eye. And then when you read the line, like in my case, I was like, ooh, I can't hardly see that with that eye. But they take the little thing and they put it on your eyes and they adjust it and they like, can you see this? Can you, which is better? And they go back and forth until they come up with your prescription. Your new adjusted prescription. Fortunately for me, mine was very minor this time, but they gave me glasses for which I could see at 20/20 clearly, effectively, and also because I am of an adult age, I have those adult glasses, you know, the ones where I thought I was reading clearly, and then I found out I wasn't until they put the bifocal thing in front of you and you go, oh, now I really see. So even a tiny print.
Saying all that to say today, we're going to look closely at a passage of scripture. Prayerfully, you will get a 2020 glimpse into the word and see more clearly a message that Jesus gave to initiate his ministry. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 4th chapter. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 14. Your Bibles, your phones, your iPads, whatever you got, as long as the word is in it, it's all good. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible because that's my weapon of choice right now. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, I will read as follows. Then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the entire vicinity. He was teaching in their synagogues, being praised by everyone. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He then rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled." My title today is, "This scripture has been fulfilled." Let's take a look at the background of this story. When you go back home, which you're supposed to do if you're good Bible students and truly maturing Christians, you shouldn't just sit here and listen to a good sermon. You should go back and see if this person who was talking to you knew what they were talking about. So go back when you get home and look at Luke chapter 4, and you'll read Luke chapter 4 is the place where we have recorded the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, where Satan tempted him, came to him three times, and three times Jesus hit him with an uppercut and a right cross, and then he finally took him out. He did what Adam didn't do in the garden. Jesus did in the wilderness what Adam didn't do in the garden. He stayed faithful to God, he obeyed God, and he used the word of God to defeat the enemy of mankind. Because contrary to rumor, y'all, Satan is not God's enemy because he's not his equal. That's a side note. All right, so he begins his earthly ministry, and he starts out with some news that's too good to be true. He unrolls that scroll of Isaiah, and their Bibles didn't have tabs and numbers like ours do. So he would roll out the scroll, and he went to the place when Isaiah 61, and he reads the first couple verses there. And while he's reading those verses, He declares, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," this man, this Jesus, "and he has anointed me." He has poured out on Jesus to preach, to proclaim good news. And the good news begins with, he is the Messiah. He is the one that the Old Testament and the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, the ones they were looking for. Jesus is the good news. And he pointed that he, the good news carrier, was there to declare what? Good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. Now you might ask, in our life where we live, we got poor, we say we poor. We have various definitions. Well, the Hebrew word for poor here used is the word ani. Like ani, but ani. Ani meaning people. Listen carefully to this definition, because words in Hebrew have a much longer and richer meaning than our word, because we say we poor, we broke. But for them to be poor means someone of low social status, like widows and children and women and slaves. Remember, the rabbis would pray in their prayers, thank God I am not a Gentile or a woman. So they were low in social status. They were also poor meant people who were social outcasts, people of different ethnic groups. You know, the Samaritans, the Ethiopians, all of those people in Jesus' time were social outcasts. Anybody outside of the Jews, by the Jews, were considered people they did not deal with if they didn't have to. This also included people like Matthew, the tax collector, and Zacchaeus, the overseer of the tax collectors, the people who were Jews but chose to side with the Romans so they could get paid, and their own people hated them because they oppressed them. They were social outcasts. So that's why when Jesus went to Matthew's house, they were talking about him like, hey, what is he doing here with all these tax collectors and these sinners and these prostitutes? Because they were social outcasts. There were people like prostitutes. There were people like the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. There were people who were demon possessed, people who were lame, who were lepers, paralyzed. Anyone who was seen as less than was considered the poor. And anyone who was being treated unjustly by the systems that were in control. So you see, we have a richer definition. And here comes Jesus proclaiming good news, the Messiah proclaiming good news to the poor, to all these people. He continues, what did he proclaim? Because he said something. He says in verses 8, the second half of verse 18 to 19, he said, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So what is he saying? What is this good news? He's saying, I'm here to set you free. I'm here, the Greek word aphesis, which means to release. Freedom means to release in the Greek. This statement is a reference, and it is a reference to the Jewish tradition of Jubilee, where we find that in Leviticus chapter 25. And I'm going to have you turn to Leviticus chapter 25 again, excuse me, because I want you to see for yourself. Especially Leviticus, because these are the books that people tend to turn past when they're reading the scripture. Leviticus chapter 25, and I'm going to break down part of it for you. Every 7 years in Jewish tradition was a Sabbath year. A Sabbath year meant that no one worked the land, and that was for everybody in the land. Nobody was allowed to go out and say, well, I'm just going to pull a few weeds, or I'm going to pick a few grapes. No. It was a Sabbath year. It was a year where the land was commanded to rest. We know that's compared to God giving the Sabbath day, a day of rest for them. Because after all, you're talking to a people that had been in bondage for over 400 years and had never had a day off. So here God commands a day off. I'm telling you something underneath for those of you who think you can work 7-8 days a week, 84 hours a day, 465 days a year. God has called for a day off.
Amen.
You're not a slave. Let me get back into this before I start running. All right. So here, every 7 years is a Sabbath year. No work. And every 49th year commences at the end of that 49. So you got 7 years. And then 7 times 7 is 49, right, teachers? Okay. Okay, students, too. So year 49 commences going into 50, a sabbatical year, where year 50 is the year of Jubilee. Let's look at the text. Leviticus chapter 25, reading in verses 8 through 10. You are to count 7 sabbatical years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time period of the 7 sabbatical years amounts to 49. Listen to this. This blew me away this week. Then you are to sound a trumpet loudly in the 7th month on the 10th day of the month. You will sound it throughout your land on the Day of Atonement. Hold that in your mind. We're going to come back to it. You are to consecrate the 50th year and proclaim freedom in the land for all its inhabitants. It will be your jubilee when each of you, you is to return to his property and each of you to his own clan. So you see there in a nutshell what not only the Sabbath year every seventh year, but the sabbatical year and then the jubilee year that follows the 49th year. And it commences on the Day of Atonement. Trumpet would announce that day because the Day of Atonement was special, because you all Bible students know that on the Day of Atonement was the only time that the high priest was allowed to go into the most holy place, where he would enter into with blood and he would put blood on the mercy seat. It was the only time he could go into that place and make atonement for the sins of the nation. That's the Day of Atonement, and the year of Jubilee coincides with the Day of Atonement. The year of release coincides with the Day of Atonement. So he would make atonement, and that next year would be that 50th Sabbath year. During it, all inhabitants would be, who were the slave, would be set free. All property would be returned to its rightful owner, and all people would receive rest from their labor. Then it gets even better, because you're probably asking to yourself, they didn't have food banks and welfare programs. How would they survive? Well, look over in chapter 25 there in verses 18 through 22, where it says this. You are to keep my statutes and ordinances and carefully observe them so that you may live securely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit so that you can eat, be satisfied, and live securely in the land. If you wonder, what will we eat in the seventh year if we don't sow or gather or produce? Look at this. I will appoint my blessing for you in the sixth year so that it will produce a crop sufficient for 3 years. Look at God. I command you to do this. You do this, I'm going to take care of you. So let's go back to Luke chapter 4. We got the year of Jubilee. Little bit understanding, deeper understanding of year Jubilee, how significant it is. All the people who will go free, you go back, your land is returned back to you. If you put your land out because you needed some money and you got yourself a mortgage on your land, you got your land back. And everybody got a rest. Everybody got a year off. And in the Jubilee year, they not only got year 49 off, they got year 50 off. Amen. 2 years vacation. Come on, Jesus. So when we get back to Luke chapter 18 and 19, chapter 4, verse 18 through 19, he says, here Jesus is declaring that a true Jubilee has come. Remember, he said, it is a time to, the good news is that to proclaim the release to the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, to set, release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is Jubilee. This is what Jesus was saying. But let's go deeper. Had to do a little study. The Manual of Biblical Archaeology. I'm going to butcher this because I can't even think right now. But I'm not going to try to say this Greek phrase. But the deepest meaning of the Jubilee year is found in this. It is found in the restoring of all that which in the course of time was perverted by man's sin, in the removing of all slavery of sin, in the establishing of the true liberty of the children of God, and in the delivering of the creation from the bondage of corruption to which it was subjected on account of man's depravity. What Jesus was declaring is, this Jubilee is different from the Jubilees you've had before. Right. Because the Jubilees you had before, you went year 49, you went year 50, but year 51, you were still lost in your sins. Year 51, you were still dealing with the issues. Folks stealing, robbing, killing, doing the same things they do now, they were doing then. You could not change your behavior. And here Jesus declared, here I am proclaiming this Jubilee year, this year of the Lord's favor, this year of release to the captives. All those who were enslaved by sin are now set free and can live like God intended. All those who, everything on earth is returned to the rightful ruler, who is the Son of God, not the son, prince of this world. Satan is not the owner of the earth. God is the owner of the earth, and he is giving the title deed to Jesus because he did what Adam didn't do. Adam abdicated his rule. Jesus took the rule back by his obedience and his sacrifice. So the rightful rulership of earth, the rightful ownership of earth does not belong to Satan. It belongs to Jesus. And Jesus also declared that the people will receive a permanent Sabbath where they can rest from the practices that could not save them. Because no matter how many animals they slaughtered, no matter how many times they showed up for a festival, no matter how many times they gave, no matter how many times they did everything they were supposed to do, they were still lost in their sins. And here the Messiah comes to declare that day is over. It's a jubilee. And the killing part is, he didn't just say it. He backed it up by what he did. Because as you read the stories of Jesus, you see that he went about proving Jubilee had come. It came to a demon-possessed man right after this that was sitting in church listening to him preach. Did you hear me? Look in your Bible. Just turn over a page. And we still in Luke chapter 4 in Capernaum. Verse 31, it said, he went down to Capernaum in the town of Galilee and was teaching on the Sabbath, and they were astonished by his teaching. In the synagogue, there was a man with unclean demonic spirits who cried out with a loud voice, "Leave us alone. What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This man was sitting in the synagogue, in church, possessed by a demon. But look at Jesus. Said verse 35, but Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be silent and come out of him." Why? Because prisoners are being released. Captives are being set free. It's Jubilee time and the Messiah is here. And throwing him to the ground down by before them, the demon came out of him without hurting him at all. Because somebody great than what was in him had come and proclaimed liberty to this man who had been sitting in the congregation probably all his life, possessed by a demon. Jubilee. Then he continues. Jesus goes to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. Now, you know when you have a fever, you got to lay in the bed. You don't even want nobody touching you, much less talking to you. Jesus goes in, heals her, and the woman gets up and cooks dinner. Now, when you get over a fever, you don't want to get up. You can barely make it to the bathroom, much less anywhere else. But she gets up totally healed. Why? Because Jubilee. What about the man with leprosy? The disease is so bad that they had to walk around in rags declaring they were unclean so nobody would accidentally touch them. So contagious that it could just spread worse than COVID would. And here this man comes up and he begs Jesus to heal him. And he does. He touches him. And the man is made clean. Because the one who is also clean can touch the unclean and it not damage or destroy him in any way, but he makes them clean. Come on now, Jesus. What about this man a little later in Luke who's laying on a mat and his friends bust up Peter's roof and let the man lay down? And Jesus, when the man comes down before Jesus, he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And you know the church folks, who is he to forgive sins? The Messiah, the Son of God, the perfect one, the anointed one, the Christ. He forgave his sins, but he says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Boy, get up and walk. And the man got up, picked up his mat, and walked. Why? Because it's Jubilee. Because the captives get to go free because the Messiah was here. Wait a minute. He continues to prove it. He comes to the blind man, heals him. Some woman in a crowd when he's on his way to raid to help this sick girl crawls up behind him with this 12-year, ladies, we know, I can't even imagine 12 years with an issue of blood. Can't imagine what her life had been like for those 12 years. Couldn't sit down nowhere, couldn't be around her family. They did not have what we have this day, thank God. Washing machines, products in the store taking up aisles. This woman had spent all she had. She went to every kind of doctor there was. And her faith said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just sneak up down here where I am, crawl up and just touch him, I know I can be made clean. Why? Because she had been a captive for 12 years, and here was the Messiah declaring she could go free. And her little bit of faith, just now, I don't need to talk to him, I don't need to get in his face, I just need to touch his garment. There was a widow. Widows were total outcasts. They didn't have social security and insurance policies like most widows in the world. We're blessed here in America. When a widow husband passed, she loses everything because it belonged to him and his family. And if she had children, if she had a son, it would go to her son. Well, this widow's son had died. So that meant it was going back to his family, and she was going to be left in the streets to beg. And here she is in a funeral procession, taking her son to his burial, and here comes Jesus, and he sees her plight, and he says, get up. And her son gets up. He made provision for a woman who would have been left poor by society. He also did something for a Roman centurion. The Jews hated the Romans. They had no dealings with them unless they were shady. But that man said, look, Jesus, you don't even need to come to my house. Just speak the word. I believe who you are. My servant will be healed. And the killer part is, if you read the story carefully, the man didn't even go home to find out whether his servant got healed until the next day.
Amen.
And when they asked him, he said, what time did he get better? Oh, about this hour. Same time I was talking to Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
But let me tell you about how Jesus really proved that it was Jubilee. See, he declared Jubilee finally to the whole world on the cross of Calvary. When our Jesus, our Passover lamb, conducted the last day of atonement, when our great high priest, who entered the most holy place, poured out his blood for all our sins, one time, and he declared, it's Jubilee. It's Jubilee. All those, because of what I have done, who are enslaved by sin are now set free and have the power, if they just believe, to live like God wants them to live.
Amen.
All those who are oppressed by this world system have a king on the throne to appeal to when this world system does them wrong. We don't settle for going to Washington like we do, or Lansing, or City Hall. We go to the throne room of heaven.
Amen.
We come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because I don't have time to wait for the next council meeting. And you definitely don't want to go to that snake pit in Washington. But because of Jesus and his declaration of Jubilee,
amen,
we get to go to the throne room, to the one who owns the earth. And even if it's raining outside, we can ask him, Lord, if it be your will, stop the rain. I mean, after all, he provided for them for 3 years when they didn't work for two of them. It's Jubilee, y'all. It's the year of the Lord's favor. So, you ask, what's this message got to do with us today? After all, we do have the same anointing of the same Spirit on us that was on Jesus. You know this, don't you? You have been sealed by the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. We have been anointed to do something, and there's something that's required of us. We've been called to live out Jubilee. In other words, we've been called to live like we've been set free. Now I'm going to get personal, because I know too many of us, and sometimes myself, I get caught in the act of being in bondage. Some of us have the worst attitudes for folks who have encountered the living Christ. Some of us have the least, no mustard seed faith, because we don't know what Jesus has declared. But yet we have the some wherewithal to actually believe that our sins are forgiven. So if our sins have been forgiven, you're no longer a slave.
Amen.
If our sins have been forgiven, God is for you and not against you.
Right.
To those of us who believe, people who are set free don't walk around like the elephants. Some of y'all know how elephants are trained. When they get a baby elephant, they bring it to the circus, they put a big old chain on it, and they tie it to a stake. And they condition that elephant to stay tied to that stake. Now, you know, an elephant is more powerful than a stake in the ground. But they don't know it. So as they grow up year after year and tied to that stake, when they get to a certain point, they don't even tie them to the stake anymore. They just leave the chain on. And so they go a few more years dragging that chain, thinking they're tied to the stake. So eventually they can take the chain off and the elephant won't go nowhere. That's too many people in the body of Christ. We've been set free, but we've been convinced that we're still attached to that stake. We've been delivered. We've been healed. All our shame, all our guilt has been put on Jesus. But we still act like we're tied to the sin. And I know we struggle. I struggle. Don't get me twisted. I struggle. But I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. In other words, I know it's Jubilee. And so even though I may act sometimes like I'm still tied to the stake, I know I'm not tied to the stake, because he broke the power of the stake. He broke every chain. He set the captives free. He's delivered us right into the presence of God. So what do we get to do also? We need to be better stewards of our owner's property. We've been listening to battle about climate change, and they got you got one side of the church where it's like, we don't have to deal with that. And then the other side of the church is like, oh, every tree is God. You know, it's just crazy. And somewhere in the middle, it is God's saying, he told Adam, subdue the earth. And then the second Adam, Jesus came and fulfilled all righteousness, and so now the earth is his, and he's telling his people, hey, I'm next to the Father, but I need y'all to subdue the earth. So I need you to care about the earth. I need you to take better care of the earth. I need you to do your part about the earth, because after all, you live here, and oh, you're coming back here. Did you hear me? I'm going to say something in a second. It's going to make somebody mad, but you'll be all right. So we need to be better stewards of not just the earth, but ourselves. Don't you know you have been bought with a price? You have been set free by somebody who now owns you. But he's not like your boss who say they own you, because your boss does not have the power to take your life. Your boss does not have the power to give you life. And if God desires, if your boss say you fired, Monday your boss might get fired. Amen. You better know who you're dealing with. But also for us, y'all, we need to get better about proclaiming Jubilee to the poor. Everyone's life has been perverted by sin, either by our own practice or by its presence. Every one of us is affected by sin. Nobody is untouched by sin. So we all say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, guess what? Yep, next to another sinner, next to another sinner, giving birth to sinners. But we need to proclaim Jubilee to everyone who's been perverted by sin and anyone who's been left out, put down, walked over, thrown away, left behind, burdened, confused, who's messed up, who's made mistakes, who chose wrong, who did wrong to anyone. We need to declare to all of them as Jubilee. We need to declare Jubilee to the man who dresses like a woman and thinks he's a woman, but he's been made a man. We need to declare Jubilee to the woman who thinks she needs to lay down with another woman just to have love. We need to stop judging folks and declare the King has come, the Messiah is here, and he has proclaimed Jubilee to everybody who was poor, everybody who's confused, everybody who's been lied on, everybody who's been marginalized. He said it's to everybody. It's not exclusive, it's inclusive.
Amen.
And we need to stop giving people tickets to heaven and letting them stay in hell on earth.
Amen.
We need to stop telling people your sins can be forgiven so you can go to heaven. What about right now? Because I'm depressed and I can't get up half of my days. What about now? We need to declare Jubilee.
Yes.
My body don't work like I wanted to. Let me tell you about Jesus. You say, well, okay, my body still don't work, but he will give you grace to endure it. He will come alongside of you. He will walk you through your confusion. He will walk you through your pain. He will walk you through your guilt. He will walk you through your shame. He will walk you all the way into his presence one day. It's Jubilee. It's Jubilee. The message has been going forth, but jacked up. The church is so off mission, it is crazy. This is our mission. To proclaim what the one who saved us proclaimed. It's time to go free. You don't have to stay in this mess. And by the way, because Jesus walks with us, we're obligated to walk with those who we call to Jesus. No matter how many times they hang up, quit, cuss you out, do lie again, whatever they do. Because he didn't give up on you when you hung up, when you wouldn't talk to him, when your faith was so small. He's proved it. He's declared it. It's going to be what he said it's going to be. But right now, we need to proclaim one message. It's Jubilee. All those enslaved by sin, go free. The earth has been restored back to its rightful ownership, and it's up to us to exercise our master's deed priorities. In other words, he owns it, but he left us here to steward it. And let's get people off the religious hamster wheel. It ain't saved nobody. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. Only belief in Jesus can save you. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. but the one who proclaimed Jubilee, the one who came and set all the captives free.
Yeah.
Father, I'm tired. I thank you. I thank you because right now, even in this place, there's some people that just don't know how much you loved us. You know, we quote John 3:16, but we do not understand the magnitude that the creator of all that we know and what we don't know loved us so much that when he saw we would mess up, he gave us a way out. And it's not by our own actions, but it is by the sacrifice of Jesus. He paid it all. There's no more payment for sin. And all we have to do is believe that we need him. That we are lost without him. And because of him, we can be made whole. Lord, so if there's anybody here who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't know true Jubilee, that he died, was buried, and rose on that third day according to the scripture, and that he's seated right next to you right now, imploring through us, come, whoever will, come. Lord, let them come to you in the quiet of their heart, in the conviction of their spirit. And Lord, for our people here, many of us are still like them folks that didn't get the message that slavery had ended. We still on the plantation dancing to the wrong master.
Amen.
Lord, I pray right now that we recognize that we have been set free. We have Jubilee. And let us enter into the rest that you have given us. And this rest, you said, your yoke is easy, your burden is light. That we can do this and help us to have a better testimony for you in this hour and this day. We praise you. We thank you. We lift up Jesus and him alone, for it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank Janice for that word this morning. And Galatians 6:6 tells us, nevertheless, those who receive instruction in the word should share in all good things with their instructor. So at this time, we're going to take up a love offering for our pastor.
You all know the standard announcements we have. Oh, something's coming. Something's coming. Okay. If you want to be blessed, see the Lord is providing. Mother Irma has plenty of orange bell peppers for you to take from her car trunk. Help yourself. Bless someone if you don't need them. The holidays are coming. And chop it up, put it in the freezer because you're going to need it. She's parked right outside next to Pastor O's truck. Everybody knows that. Yep.
I want to make a personal request to each and every one of y'all. Some of y'all know my daughter, Joy. I want you to keep Joy in your prayers. I don't know the situation right now, but just keep her in your prayers.
And others as well, pray for Mother Cheryl. I know she was saying something about rehab on her knee she was doing, and well at caregiving. Definitely Mother Persia, You see, Mother Marilyn's not with us today, so we pray for her. Mother Irma, Mother Louisa, we remember her.
Please pray for my son, Tor. Him and Aaron, the young man, took his life. They were very close. He was like my son. And I just ask everybody, be careful what you post on Facebook. You never know people going through. And with Facebook, that's not our world. And just pray for my son, if he's hurting. And pray for Aaron's children. He's got 5 babies here. Mm. 5 kids. So, you know, just keep praying. And what you preach today, we need to know our place and be here for each other.
Yes.
And then just along the lines, you know, we got to get a grip. Lord sent it here for a reason. Tomorrow we're going to be covering substance use disorder. And just about all the things that have been brought up before, that's a temptation when people are going through anything. And then if they end up with a substance use disorder, then there's a whole lot of hell that comes with that for them and their family. So tune in tomorrow on that topic.
All right. Some of us have testimonies in those areas.
Amen.
But again, just remember.
Go ahead in there, too, Addie. I want y'all to pray for me and, like, my entire family. We got new babies, and it's kind of like hard when you have a new baby and you're a new parent. So I want y'all to pray for my kids and their kids. And me too.
Yeah. I've been talking about little Daddy Die, and there's Adrian right there in the Batman outfit. Yes. So, you're blessed to have. I've actually babysat. Shh, don't tell nobody. The other day. So, yes, pray for them. And I thought I saw Monica back there. Was she back there? Yep, she right there. Sergeant Morris. Some of y'all saw on Facebook. I had the honor of pinning her the other day as she's been promoted to the rank of sergeant from the Wayne County Sheriff's Department. So proud. All right, Isaiah trying to take off. He's scared. No, I'm going to leave him. So I think that with that being said, the ladies' Bible class will be back in session this coming Saturday. We're going to be starting to deal with 12 questions every Christian needs to be able to answer. Let's learn how to have conversations with folks. You see, there's a need for it. So as you're standing to your feet, remember to pray for each other. It's good to see all of you all here. Doris, you already know. My friend. Yes, definitely. All right. And for our kids, our little ones, you know, there's a lot of things going on in this world that are affecting them. We don't know the long-term effects of all this. But we know the one who knows the long-term of everything. He knows. We just got to trust him. He ain't lost. There's no enemy greater than him. So nothing can defeat him. So instead of bragging about your team that you're going to lose,
the one who already won. If you love him, lift your hands. If you love him, stand with us. If you love him, lift your voice. If you love him, open up your mouth. If you love him,
benediction. To him who loves us and has set us free from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. All God's people.
Amen.
Lisa.